Good morning. On this wonderful, sunny Pentecost Sunday, amen. Yes, where the Holy Spirit comes and breathes his life into us. We just want to take a few seconds. I want to welcome you this morning. I want to welcome the people. You might not be at home, you might be in a great big stadium somewhere. We don't know who's watching, but we pray for the people at the other side of the screen. We just want to pray that the Holy Spirit is very real to us this morning. So let's take a few seconds just to let the Holy Spirit fall in this place. Breathe in. Breathe him in this morning. I could have chosen so many songs, but the words of one comes to mind. To be in your presence, not rushing away. To cherish each moment, here would I stay. This is my desire. Let the Holy Spirit be our desire this morning and work in and through us during all this service, whether it be sung, spoken, prayed about. We ask your Holy Spirit to be with us this morning, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Bible verse before we start. When the day of Pentecost arrived in Acts 2, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire, and tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yes, Father, we just need to know how you guide us into what we should do, that we're here on this earth to do your will, that we choose our footsteps, but you guide us in those footsteps, that you tell us what to do, nudge us, please, by your Holy Spirit, as we move into a new season in this church. Empower us.
Yeah.
Help us. Use us. Ordinary people that you've used right through Scripture. Use us, we pray this morning, Lord. Jesus lives and is building his kingdom.
Yeah,
through, in and through us, and in and through the people in this building. Thank you, Father God. The living God who loves each and every one of us, who can't love us less. No matter what we do, he never loves us less. He might not like us, but he doesn't love us less. And no matter what we do, he still loves us. He loves us more day by day. Spirit of the living God, make us aware of God's love for us. Teach us. Guide us. Help us to understand your word. Be very real to us this morning. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me this morning. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. We pray for Olivia as she brings your word this morning, Lord. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit will work through her to teach us more of you. And we pray this in your mighty name and for your sake. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's really good to see so many people here again this morning on this beautiful day, beautiful Pentecost Day. We expect great things, don't we, from the Lord, and he never fails us. And we've prayed quite a lot this morning about different things, but I'd just like to say, if there's anyone in the church building this morning that needs prayer for something, please, please do get in touch with somebody. Either choose someone that you know well, or just come and simply sit down at the front and someone will come and pray, because we know how powerful prayer is. There's an invitation for anyone that might feel that they need to pray with someone this morning. Sorry, you guys on YouTube, I forgot to say hello to you. It's very good to have you with us again this morning, and we do hope that you enjoy the time that we're having together this morning. So, just a few notices. This afternoon, prospects meeting down here at church at 3 o'clock. We have some very enthusiastic people attend that. You'll have a good time if you come, I'm sure. And the trustees are meeting this evening at 6 o'clock, so we would value prayer for the time that we spend together this evening. Tomorrow, Monday, prayer and meditation via Zoom at 9:30, and the ladies meeting at 1:30 in the afternoon. The art playgroup will be meeting on Tuesday as normal at 10 until 11:30, and then 1 o'clock until 2:30. And the prayer and walk and litter peep will continue again this week, starting at the top of the chase. So if you meet there for 11 o'clock, if you're able, and Jan will direct you where she wants you to go. The lunch club on Thursday, as usual, at 12 o'clock, please invite people to come. It's a lovely time, just an hour and a half, we have a good time. So if you know anyone that you think would like to come, please invite them. There's some information at the back. I mentioned last week about volunteers for chaplains in the hospitals and fire services, and quite a lot of the information at the back if you're still interested. There's a worship and prayer for our nation evening in Sheffield on the 25th of June, and the information is there, and they're all at the back. I had a lovely letter from BMS during the week, and it just says that your church family at Swalness Baptist Church stood together and gave an amazing total of £2,050 to BMS World Mission in 2023 to transform lives around the world and share the gospel. So that's an amazing thing that we've done, and perhaps some of us don't even know that we're doing it, but it's very much appreciated, so thank you for your giving.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Jan, for your lovely worship and for reminding us that it's Pentecost. Everything's sort of about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? But we're sort of going to veer away during our preach today to talk about Sarah. So we've been on the Heroes of Faith path, haven't we? And so today we're talking about Sarai, or Sarah, who is Abraham's wife. So just before we get into that, let's pray. Father God, this morning we come before you just as we are. We know that you know us right down to the soles of our feet. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, this morning, send your Holy Spirit, fill us, and help us each to take away what we need to know for the next step on our journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 weeks ago, Rob preached on a paragraph from the Bible. This week, I'm going to preach on 12 chapters. So you better get comfy. Settle in, we're here for a while. I thought we probably wouldn't read the full 12 chapters. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a sort of potted history of Sarah and Abraham's story, particularly the bits that are to do with Sarah. There's a lovely moment. So Sarai means my princess. And I've read in a couple of places that this might not actually have been her name. This might actually have just been what Abraham called her, my princess. She marries Abram at that point. And the very first thing they do is follow God from their home on a nomadic existence. So the very first part of this story is God's first property to Abraham. Why does my phone not like easy worship? Thank you. So, God says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who curse you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So, Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they travelled there. Abraham travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So God makes some pretty quality promises in that prophecy. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. To your offspring, I will give this land. And so off they go, surviving in the wilderness, finding their way through different cultures, different places. Twice, Abraham and Sarai find themselves in a hostile place. And she, because she was very beautiful, we hear, he was concerned that as her husband, they would kill him and take her. And so she poses as his sister, and twice the local king does in fact take her in marriage. And twice God puts a stop to it. And twice from this, they are materially blessed and set free. So I just want to, I think a really important comparison, a really important moment. This is a real example of Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. So we see people messing up and God using it for good. We see people who have stepped out in faith, taking a wiggly route, and God going, okay, I can use that, I can use that, I can use that. Don't worry, I've got it. It's not a problem. I'm on it. I know where I'm going. And so, a little bit further on, Abraham is praying, and he says, God, you've blessed me. You know, we're still alive. We're going on this journey for you, but Sarai is barren. Sarai can't have children. And that's a huge thing for them culturally in terms of having someone to inherit from them. For her, sadly, women were not valued unless they could have children. And so Abraham is praying and he says, you know, my heir is servant number 6, and I just, why are you not blessing me with this? I know you've given me other stuff, but I want this thing. And so in Genesis 15, God says, this man will not be your heir, the servant, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Now it's very important, I think, that this is to Abraham, your flesh and blood. So for me, the story I knew about Sarai was that she messed up because God said, you will have the heir to all nations. And she said, well, I'm barren, so I'd better give my slave to my husband and do it that way. But actually, I think it's really important to note here a few things. One is God had not said that she would be the mother of all nations at this point. God had only said that Abraham would be the father. And culturally, at that time, actually, her husband having a slave as a concubine was pretty average. Obviously, I hope we wouldn't do it. It's not part of our lives. It's not how we work. But it wasn't... I remember when I first read it, I was really shocked that she would do this thing. How awful. But actually, at that time, it sort of made quite a lot of sense. And also, just to be clear, they'd waited another 10 years after the prophecy. I haven't written her age down. She's definitely getting on a bit. So not only at this point has she always not been able to have children, she's also past childbearing age. So she's doing this thing that we do. She goes, okay, God's promised this thing, but I have to make it happen. It's me. I have to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. This will make it happen. It will be fine. And indeed, Hagar has a son. Hagar. So she's impatient, but she's not contradicting God. She didn't go directly against what he had said to her. And honestly, I'm more upset by what happens next, personally. So next, Hagar, God love her, goes, you're barren, I'm not barren, I'm having a baby, la 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 la, and just rubs it in her face. And so Sarai feels really, really rubbish at this point. And she lashes out at Hagar. She is horrible to her, to the point where Hagar leaves the family. But what does God do? God's got it. He goes, he reveals himself to Hagar. He says, go back. Go back. I've got this. I've got you. I've got your son. I'm on it. And so now we have Hagar, Ishmael, the son, Sarai, and Abraham living together. And time passes. And God appears again. And now he changes her name from Sarai, my princess, to Sarah, the princess, over everything. And he names her as a mother of nations. And he says twice, he comes and sees Abraham twice in different guises. And he says, you know, within a year, Sarah's going to have a son and he will be the father of nations, and your seed will go out forever and all this sort of stuff. And what does Sarah do? She has a little giggle to herself. She forgets that God sees everything and she goes, yeah, that's going to happen. Okay, I'd like to see it. And it just, I love this. So Sarah, God calls her out and she goes out and he went, why did you laugh? She goes, I didn't laugh. And he goes, yes, you did. And then he doesn't say anything after that. So we have no idea how she reacted to God going, yes, you did laugh. Yes, I did laugh. I am sorry. And so what does God do? He keeps his promise. And I have written down her age now. So at the age of 91, Sarah laughs again. She has a son, Isaac. God keeps his promises. And then she dies at 127. Now, if you know Genesis, I'm sure you all know Genesis very well, you'll know that I've missed out lots of bits. But for me, those are the bits that are key to Sarah's story. And Isaac does go on to be not only the father of the Jewish nation, but I believe a direct line to Jesus. I'm saying I haven't checked that, but I believe Isaac is a direct line to Jesus. And so, what can we learn? Well, first, that we all have our limits. Behaviorally, we have our limits. Bless Sarai, she had a point where she just had enough and she lashed out at Hagar. We all have limits in our understanding. She didn't understand that she was supposed to be the mother if Abraham was supposed to be the father. She had her own cultural morals that said, actually, it's all right if Hagar is the mum. And also in trusting God. Remember, right at the beginning, they did this thing which I've always been petrified God's going to ask me to do, which is leave home. I've always been like, I'll do anything, but please don't send me on a mission somewhere really far away because I can't do that. Like, for me, that's huge. The first thing they do is that. And yet, she can't quite trust him that he can change her from being barren, that he can give her a baby, that he can do all that sort of stuff. It takes her a while to get to there. And you heard me go through with all the ages of how old everyone was. So hilariously, I don't have a problem with believing that God can bring a baby from a barren lady. I don't have an issue with that. But I always read the ages in the Old Testament and I go, really? 127? 250? What? Like that, I still struggle with that. I read those ages and I go, ah, well, I'm an archaeologist, so I know that that was an oral tradition at that point, and maybe those ages got exaggerated, and maybe this, and maybe that, and maybe that. But if I stand on my faith, then I believe that. And that's my challenge to me, is to believe that, because that is, I believe on this book. Where is the book? I believe in this book. If I believe in this book, and I believe in God, and I believe in the power of God, then why shouldn't somebody have been 250 years old? Why? Why not? So, we all have our limits. God uses all things for good. All of them. When we make mistakes, when we mess up, when we reach our limits, God is able to take those things and put them in his plan. A good friend once said, it's not that he has an exact everything is going to happen this way, but he's big enough to deal with it, whatever we throw at him. That patience is a virtue. God has a plan, and he tells Abraham how long it's going to take. He says it's going to be hundreds of years. And so we need to be patient for the little things that are going to happen in our lives, but also to recognize that actually God's plan for us might not be within our lifetime. What God's going to do with us and our things and what he's asked us to do might actually come to fruition in 300, 400 years. We today are still part of the fruit of God's prophecy to Abraham. And also, God usually gives us more, better, and different to what we think we want. So, did I put Genesis 15 in, Jenna? I don't think I did I? Give me one second. So, Abraham's prayer is, oh Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And God says, okay, well, I'm going to give you an heir, but I'm not just going to give you an heir. I'm going to give you an heir and he's going to be the father of nations and through him I'm going to save the world. Okay. And then later on, he prays again. And he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. So it's when Hagar and Ishmael do leave the family. They go away after Isaac's born. And Abraham just says, you know, don't forget him. He's still my son. And God says, yeah, I'm going to make him a father of nations too. Not the same nations, different nations, but he's also going to be a father of 12 nations. God takes what we pray and he makes it bigger. But it all begins with stepping out in faith. I think, feel free to disagree with me, that the reason that Sarai is in the list of people is because she stepped out in faith with her husband. And because they based it all on that faith, from there on, God had it. And so I would encourage you that God's got it. If you think you did a thing that was so ineffably stupid that God couldn't possibly look after you at this point, he's got it. He's got you. He's big enough to deal with it. And he's big enough to deal with all the rubbish things we're facing that are not our fault as well. Because we all have stuff going on, don't we? So, let's continue to step out in faith. Let's continue to rest in Jesus. Let's not let the things which take us slightly one step backwards stop us, because God has got it. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would help people take from today the things that you want them to know. That you would plant your seeds in their heart, and that over time they would grow. We choose today to have faith. We choose to believe in you. And we take our first steps today. Or our 1,550 first steps today towards you. On this day that we remember you sending your Holy Spirit so that we wouldn't be alone, we thank you for that. We pray that you would rain it down on us and use us in your mighty name. Amen. Janet, could I have slide number whatever the one before the end was, please? This came up on my Facebook the other day. And it just, because I was all in this sermon and thinking about it, it really felt like it was about that it might not happen in your lifetime. Your ancestors did not survive everything that nearly ended them for you to shrink yourself and make someone else comfortable. This sacrifice is your war cry. Be loud, be everything, and make them proud. So I hope that we will make Abraham and Sarai, our great, 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 great grandparents, proud, spiritual or physical. So, we began this morning with the beginning of Acts chapter 2 with Pentecost. And so we're going to finish this morning as we prepare for communion with Acts chapter 2 verse 47. What happened after Pentecost? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as had any need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. So we come together on this day of Pentecost to break bread together and to drink wine, to do the thing that Jesus specifically told us to do before he went. Lord, as we come to this table, we ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. That you would help us to focus on fellowship and prayer and you. And that through that, more souls would be saved every day. Lord, as we come to your table, we bring to you those things that we are not proud of. Those things that we know have separated us from you. We lay them before you and we say we are truly sorry. We want to be closer to you. Help us to do that. So as we share the bread, we'll take it individually and wait and take the wine together. We thank God for this family. And we remember what he has done for us. We remember that Christ died for us, and until he comes again, let's drink together.
And it shall come to pass, this is the last, the verse that Olivia read, it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just ask your Holy Spirit, please turn our weaknesses into strengths. Let this church live loud. Amen. Let's share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. Pray you have a good week. Thank you.